Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you. Thank you so very much for this opportunity. Thank you so very much for the men, women, and children of Good Shepherd Baptist Church. Thank you so very much for those who might hear this message being brought to them online, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, thank you for the listeners, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, today as I approach this text, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray your unction upon all that's spoken and all that's heard, dear Heavenly Father, that you are glorified with all that we do and all that we say, so that men might be challenged and hearts might be touched and souls might be saved. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Amen. Good morning again. If you would, please turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we'll be reading verses 9 through 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 16. And in the King James Bible it reads, "But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God." Verse 12, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind," I'll emphasize it this way, "but we have the mind of Christ." May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, doers, and hearers of his word. Amen. Okay. Today we will talk about that we might know the works of Ruach HaKadosh. Ruach HaKadosh. That is the Hebrew term for the Holy Spirit. I just wanted to put that out there because since I don't know Hebrew very well, I won't keep repeating that because I don't want to mess it up. So I just tell y'all, it's the Holy Spirit. But in the Hebrew text, it's called Ruach HaKadosh, the breath of God, the very breath of God. The first place you see the Holy Spirit is in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, where it says, "And the Holy Spirit hovered over the earth." So he's been around for a long time. He's part of the Trinity. And what you're going to find out in this text is that you and I can understand the ways of God that have been revealed. Now, the Bible tells you, under no circumstances can anybody in here or any place else figure out God. Nobody can figure out God. But anybody who has the mind of Christ can receive and understand that which God has revealed. That's not deep, y'all. If God has revealed it, it's available to us. In the book of Hosea, he says that my people perish for lack of knowledge. Well, when you read that book, what you'll find out is not that the knowledge was not available. It's just that they didn't avail themselves of that knowledge. So people say, "Oh, we don't know. Wait. There are some things that Christians absolutely positively know. But they just say, I'm not interested in doing it. That's why I got so excited when so many of the people here signed up for the Real Life Institute, and so many more are starting to come to Sunday school. And I want more of you to, I want to encourage you, come to Sunday school. He said, because my people perish for lack of knowledge. Not that the knowledge is not there, not that the information isn't available, but that you don't avail yourselves of the information that's available. When we talk about that we might know, that's, you see that in verse 12 of what our text, he says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know. Let that sink in for a minute. That we might know. When you go back to the Old Testament, you will see that, you will see those words repeated numerous times. That you might know. That you might know. That you might know. Why don't God's people know? If God has gone through such great strains and such extents to let us know how much he loves us, to let us know how much he cares about us, to let us know what he has for us in the future. If God goes through such great lengths, why don't we know? He's telling us right here. It's here for you. It's right here for you. And I'll start this off by saying, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How much more does he have to prove to us that he loves us? How could we not know? How could we? The Bible says, if I had my son die for you, if I put my son on the cross for you, how, what are you accusing me of holding back on? How could you not know how much I love you? How could you not know? And that's, Paul is getting ready to speak to a very confused church. We'll be picking this up again when I get back in town. Paul is speaking, this is a letter, this letter to the church of Corinth. It's a letter speaking to a very confused church, not too much unlike the church USA today, 2018. And what Paul is addressing in this particular portion of the passage, where I'm going to be at from verse 2 to 16, he's letting the people know. He's going to be correcting them through the rest of this book. It's pretty much all about getting things straight, getting things corrected, getting things right. But he's instructing them first. We're going to start with the Word of God. Or as we say here at Good Shepherd Baptist Church, we're going to start with the Bible. And we're going to stay with the Bible. We are going to start with the Bible, and we are going to stay with the Bible. If you want an answer to whatever your situation is, we're going to start with the Bible. We're going to stay with the Bible. Because what was going on here in the Church of Corinth, you have to understand the city of Corinth was a very corrupt place. The people, not all, but the city had a reputation for being a corrupt place. And so you had people coming out of, and don't forget the Bible says, such were some of us. So the Bible says you have people coming out of all kinds of stuff. You got people coming out of lifestyles that are unimaginable. You have people coming out of situations unimaginable. I think about, my mind goes back to the, I think it was 5 young ladies up in Cleveland, Ohio, where a man had kidnapped them and kept them for 10, 15 years, and one of them was able to finally get out the house. Who could, I mean, next time you sit there and complain about, man, the price of gas is just so high, just try that one on for a little bit. Try that one on. See, folks have gone through some horrific things, and so Paul is addressing these folks. Because no matter what, even for those young ladies, no matter what, and don't forget, this is a worldwide gospel. This is not an American gospel. This is a worldwide gospel. No matter what your situation, God can pull you through. He's made that promise. And not only has he made that promise, but he said, I'll make it so that you can know that I can do it. Paul is coming across these people, and here's what he's coming across right now. Some people who want to walk by sight. If I can't see it, I can't believe it. Then you have another group of people who like to follow the vain philosophy of men. Well, you know, Plato says, well, you know, Muhammad says, and I'll even say this, y'all. You know, Dr. King says, oh, I'm on dangerous ground. We start with the Bible. And anybody who speaks, Paul is saying, Paul said, y'all don't even listen to me unless you check it with the Bible. He says, if it's not written, you don't roll with it. We start with, and here's the worst one. Here's the worst one. I just need to follow my heart. Have you heard it? Have you heard it? I just need to follow my heart. What does the Bible say about the heart? The Bible says the heart is desperately wicked and deceitful. He says, God says, the last, you'd rather follow, I'm going to say this, but most of the kids want, Lassie. Lassie was a dog in a TV show. You'd be better off following Lassie than following your own heart. He says, never follow your heart. Oh, one of our famous TV ladies, it's whatever's right in my gut. Don't follow your gut. All it'll do is take you to a hamburger joint. Don't follow your gut. Start with the Bible and stay with the Bible. Because there's many people who will start with you with the Bible, but as soon as you start contradicting whoever their favorite preacher or their favorite philosopher or their favorite whatever, their favorite TV guest, once you start contradicting that, well, hey, no, start with the Bible and stay with the Bible. Because for those of us who have named the name of Christ, for those of us who said, I believe that Jesus Christ came, he died, he rose from the dead, paying for my sins, for everyone who names the name of Christ, guess what? On that last day, you're going to be going to the Bible. Well, Lord, you said you'd take me home. That's what you said, Lord. And you go, I guarantee you're going to try to remind him. And if you hurt real bad, you're going to say, Lord, you promised you'd never put anything more on me than what I could take. But in the meantime, are you just as concerned with the Word of God? That's what Paul is trying to get these folks to do. Paul is trying to get these folks to focus in on what is written. And he says, And the main thing that he wants him to focus in on is the fact that the Ruach HaKadosh, the Holy Spirit of God, it has been given. Y'all, church, that's good news. When you read that whole entire Old Testament from Genesis to Malachi, when you read that whole entire Old Testament, when you read it, understand, the Holy Spirit had not been given to all believers. The Holy Spirit would come upon somebody from time to time, and they would do some incredible things, i.e. Samson, i.e. Elijah, all these men who would have this anointing on them for a period of time, and then the Holy Spirit would go. But in this dispensation, in our day and time, think about this. God himself, the Holy Spirit of God, for everybody who's named the name of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God has taken up residence in you. Oh, man. Oh, man. God has taken up residence in me. He says, your body is the temple of Ruach. Your body, you. Just a skinny little boy from Cleveland, Ohio. Come on, man. God, the creator of all the heavens and the earth. You, everybody here who has said, I believe that Jesus Christ came, he died, and he rose from the dead, paying for my sins. Everybody here who has made that statement, as you sit, the Holy Spirit of God is in you. Verse 8. Let's walk our way through this. Chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8. Excuse me, verse 9. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Now I'm going to stop right there because that's what you hear at the funerals. Y'all ever heard that at a funeral? Almost every funeral I've ever gone to. And they say it so eloquently. They say, but as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And they stop. They stop. And everybody, that when you get that little pregnant pause, that's when everybody's supposed to shout. Ow! But let's get to the good part. The next verse is the good part. The next verse is, but God hath revealed them unto us by his what? His Spirit. So and I told you in the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant, that was an absolute truth. The eye hadn't seen, the ear hadn't heard, and neither, when you say where it says, neither have entered into the heart of man, that means it had not even ever occurred to them that they could understand God, that they could understand the ways of God. And he says, but now God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. God is saying to his church, and again, he's addressing the church in Corinth, and these people are really, they're scattered. I mean, they just have confusion all through the church. And Paul says, for the Spirit, talking about God's Holy Spirit, searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Let's talk about some deep things of God, because most of the stuff in the Bible is really not that deep. But I want you to turn with me to John, to the Gospel of John, Gospel of John chapter 3. I'm going to show you something that when the Bible talks about deep, you're going to say, ooh. When I read it, I said, ooh. John chapter 3, verse 8. Now, understand, here's the lead up to John chapter 3, verse 8. There's a man named Nicodemus. Nicodemus is a Pharisee. Nicodemus is he's one of the top guys in the community. So the man named Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night, and he says, Jesus, I know you're somebody special. I know you're something special. I know that, Jesus. He said, but I'm not really sure how you do what you do, how you say what you, Jesus, you got to explain some stuff to me. What do I need to do to get right? And Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Now, Nicodemus gave him a natural man's answer, which is, what do you mean? I can't go back into my mother's womb. What do you mean I got to be born again? He says, you must be born again. Now, verse 8. Jesus is explaining to him, no, you don't go back into your mother's womb. That's not going to happen. But there has to be a change in you. There has to be a change in every aspect of our lives. A change, a radical, drastic change. Listen to what Jesus says to him. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh. And whether it goeth, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Wait a minute. He said, everyone who's born, because Jesus said you got to be born of the water, which is of your mother, and you had to be born of the Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit. And Jesus says, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Wait a minute. You're saying that I sit here and the wind comes and the wind goes, and he goes, yeah. He said, you sit here and the wind comes and the wind goes. On everybody, the wind goes and the wind comes and the wind goes on everybody. Amen? Amen? But here's the key word. But did you hear it? Were you paying attention? See, because the Bible says that God calls everybody. He calls out to many. The call goes out. Did you hear it? Or were you so busy doing this and doing this and doing that that you didn't hear it? Jesus says, understand, everyone who is born of the Spirit hears that rock, the breath of God, rock. Now, wait a minute. How am I born again and I'm still standing? That's deep. He said, because it's a spiritual transition. The spiritual leads to the physical. The physical doesn't lead to the spiritual. Going on down here to verses 12 through 16. Jesus says, if I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? He's talking to Nicodemus because Nicodemus is not getting it, y'all. He's not getting it. And Jesus says, if I tell you that 2 + 2 = 4, and you don't understand that, how are you going to understand if I give you something that's high, holy, and spiritual? And you can't get it, but we're going to find over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, unless the Spirit of God reveals it to you, you can't get it. Look what Jesus says to Nicodemus. Verse 12, if I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man ascended up to heaven, but that he came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Wait a minute. The Son of Man, which is in heaven? Church, all together, tell me, who is the Son of Man? Say it again. But he's sitting here with me. What's he talking about? He's up in heaven. That's what he says. The Son of Man, which is in heaven. That's deep. You sitting here with me right now. You call yourself the Son of Man. And you tell me you're sitting in heaven. These things are ascertained through the spiritual channel, y'all. A natural man looks at this and he says this. He says, this is crazy. This is ridiculous. Jesus goes on to give him some more spiritual truths. He says, verse 14 and 15, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Wait a minute. Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave. Who am I sitting here talking to? Who am I talking to? I'm talking to Jesus. What do you mean I'm talking to you and you're telling me that you got to be lifted up like the serpent in the wilderness? And you use the term past tense? That God gave his Son? Oh, man. But to the natural man, that's nonsense. But to this man who understands spiritual things, that's shouting stuff. Because God loved me. God loved you so much that when he looked at your situation, when he understood just how far gone you were, the Bible says in the fullness of time, he gave his Son. And here's his Son sitting here. Maybe it's just me, but here Jesus is talking to Nicodemus and saying that he has already been crucified. Because in the eyes of God, it's a done deal, y'all. The lamb that was slain before the foundations of the earth. See, this is all just being replayed out. I'm sitting here talking to the one you telling me you're sitting in heaven right now. You're sitting here beside me. I'm here on the park bench talking to you. You're talking about being born again. It's all spiritually ascertained. And for my Jewish friends, I want them to understand that in John chapter 3, verse 14, and verse 14, where he says, verse 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That's found in Numbers chapter 21. And understand, here's a spiritual aspect. The Jews were being bitten. They were being bitten by fiery serpents because they were in rebellion to God. God had given them a mandate, and they just said, we just ain't going to do it. We ain't feeling it. Isn't that what we say when the pastors say, hey, would you like to head this committee? I ain't feeling it.
I'm not feeling it, Pastor. Okay. God said, let me give you something to feel. Amen. So the Jews said, I ain't feeling this. God said, I want you to go out. I want you to evangelize the whole world. But they said, I ain't feeling it. And so God, in their rebellion, God sent. I didn't say the devil sent. I said, God sent fiery serpents. And it started stinging and biting the children of Israel. And they were dying. They were getting bit. And they were dying because the poison was so great. They were dying. I didn't say the devil did it. I said, God. And these things are discerned spiritually because sometimes God puts some pain in our life because he has to get our attention. You know, I had a nephew who was locked up in jail. And he basically said to me, Uncle Willie, I wasn't going to read the Bible any other way. Bible's all through the house. I ain't going to read it. But when I'm in jail, when I'm doing time, I got some time. Amen. Sometimes God has to do things to drastic measures to get our attention because we're so self-sufficient. We're so high and mighty, so high on ourselves. We're so capable. Isn't that something? God made us in his image, and look at how much he made us in his image. I'll get back to the serpent, but I got to digress for just a minute. He made us so much in his image that when they worked on the Tower of Babel, do you hear what God said? God said, if we don't go down and scatter them, they will achieve what they set out to do. Now, this is thousands of years ago. They were trying to build a tower to heaven. And God said, if I give them enough time, do you understand? Heathens, saved folks, and heathens. We are all created in God's image, and we are capable of doing a lot of things. Now, if we have the mind, we can do them for Christ. But if we don't have the mind, we're going to serve the devil because you're going to serve somebody. And so back to the serpent. The serpents are stinging. And God says to Moses, he says, Moses, in Numbers chapter 21, he says, Moses, I'm putting some pain on my people because I want them to humble themselves. See, I want them to look up to me. And I wanted to know that my salvation reigns. And the Bible said God told Moses to take, that the serpents were real. He said, make a serpent out of brass. Make a serpent out of brass? What kind of sense does that make? Make a serpent, because brass represents judgment. Make a serpent out of brass. He said, and then I want you to take that serpent, and I want you to put it on a pole, and I want you to hold it up high, and I want you to tell my people, if you want to live, you're going to have to look to me. Oh. You would think that with everybody getting bitten, you would think that with people burning with pain, people burning with agony, people burning and people dying in front of you, you would think that everybody would say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. But they didn't. And many of them died. But everybody who looked up, everybody who obeyed God, lived. Let's fast forward. God so loved the world. He looked at the sin situation of everybody here, man, woman, boy, girl. God so loved the world. Not just the Jews this time, but the world. He says people are dying. People are in pain. People are in agony. People are in abject rebellion to me. People can't stand the name of Jesus. People don't, they will stand up for anything in the marketplace but Jesus. God says, I'm going to put some pain in their life. I'm going to bring some stuff in their life that's going to make them drop to their knees. But then he says to the world, he says to all of us, he said to the Jews in the wilderness, if you just humble yourself, look up, I'll save you. He's saying to America, USA, all men, all women. He's saying to people in Russia, Cambodia, Thailand, Nigeria, Cameroon, Spain, you name it. He's saying all of your lives are jacked up. All of you. And you have all come short of the glory of God. You have all sinned. He said, but if you will just look up to the cross, if you will just call on the name of Jesus, if you would just humble yourself, stop saying, I can make it. You sound like that little old engine. I can make it. I can make it. I can. No, you can't. You can't make it. You can't do it in your own power and your own authority. He said, God said, if there was another way to do it, I wouldn't have put my son on that pole. If there was, you want to know how nasty our sins are? Some people say, well, you want to know how much you're worth? Just look at how much God paid for you. No, if you want to know how much you're worth, just read the Bible. The Bible says you ain't worth nothing. God didn't get anything out this deal. We made out. If you doubt that, look in the mirror. Amen. God, I made out when Jesus died for me, y'all. That's like, see, if he made out, he'd be praising me. He'd be saying, oh, thank you, Willie. Thank you, Willie. No, no, heavens no. I made out. That's why when I come here, I can't help myself. I got to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you did. Thank you for pulling me out the depths. And thank you for giving me the gift. The gift. Y'all understand gift? We don't pay for gifts. He said, thank you for giving me the gift of eternal life. And I searched the Bible. I said, why in the world would he be concerned with somebody like me? I'm just a little old nobody. Why in the world is the King of Glory, the creator of all the heavens and the earth, why in the world is he concerned with me? Even the angels, the Bible says the angels sit up in heaven saying, what is man? What is us? What is man that you're even concerned about him? And all I got to do is go back to John 3:16. For God so loved. Oh, man. Come on, man. What kind of reason is that? He said, I just love you. I love you. I love you. And I want to spend all of eternity with you. And the only way that's going to happen is you have to look up at the cross. And you have to say, Lord, I believe you came, you died, you rose from the dead, paying for my sin. And the Bible says, and he shall save you. Ooh, that's good news. That's good stuff. Going back to verse 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? God's saying, look, God says, look at yourself. Okay, this is trying to explain to people why we need the Spirit of God. Some people, they don't think that that's a big deal to have the Spirit of God, because all men have their own spirit in them. And he goes, what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of the man which is in him, which is in him? He's saying, for everybody here, as close as we may have a brother, a sister, what do they call those, best friends forever? One of those. That lasts till you get mad at them. Amen. Okay, I'm sorry. Anyhow. He said, who knows you other than you? Even your closest friend doesn't know everything there is to know about you. Even, I've been married for 45 years, and I'm still trying to keep certain things. No. Nobody, no human knows me as well as she knows me. Last time she told me something, I said, you ain't my mama. And she said, you've been with me longer than you with your mama. Your mama kicked you out at 18. We're going on 45. But he tells you here, nobody knows you like you. He says, so therefore, if that's a true statement, and it is, because you know within yourself, nobody does. I just had to. That's why when people get married, they're married for about 3 or 4 months. I didn't know you were like that. Just got married. But guess what? That's why God says before we get married, he warns you, doesn't he? For better, for worse, for rich, for rich, for rich. Oh, okay, poor. I got stuck on that part. But God told us, And he says, but when you work things, when you talk with one another, when you work things through, when you do things the way I tell you to do it, he says, guess what? I get the glory. You get the benefit because you've worked out things with your spouse. He said, but I get the glory. Amen. He says here, he goes, nobody knows the spirit of the man but the man. Ergo, nobody knows the spirit of God but God. And so that's why it's so important, and that's why it's so exciting in verse 10 where he says, I have revealed myself. God said, I have, and since he has revealed himself, and like I told you, for all believers, he is indwelling us. So guess what? God has indwelled you with his Holy Spirit, and he is showing you daily, things about him. And when you read this book, he'll open your eyes because the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, he leads us into what? All truth. And he comforts us during those very difficult times. But in the meantime, he leads us through all truth. And he says here, even so the things of God, verse 11, even though the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know. See, you don't have to guess what's right and wrong according to the word of God. You can pick up your Bible and you can know. You can know if certain things are right. You can know it. And don't hold the truth in unrighteousness. That's what he accuses us of in Romans chapter 1. Some things we know, but we say, you know what, Lord, I'm just going to do it anyhow. I heard a preacher. Man, I wanted to run for cover. I was at a church one day, and the preacher was reading something, and I could tell that God's Holy Spirit brought him under conviction. I could see it right there. He was reading it because he stopped. And then he said, God's just got to deal with me on that. I grabbed my wife. Hey, we got to get out of here. Don't laugh, because we do it too. Things that you absolutely, positively know God frowns on. You know it. But because the world says, well, it's okay. It's okay for two men to get married. Oh, heavens no. We go to the Bible and find out how do we fix that. If we love somebody, we talk to them about that situation. If the Bible says, I'm a drunkard and I can't help myself. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. I start with the Bible. And the Bible tells me, such were. Such were. Whenever you see those words, I want you to shout. Because that means that's what they used to be. And now they're no longer that. And they're getting better because we start with the Bible and we stay with the Bible. He goes, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God. We're given eternal life. We're given the fruits of the spirit. But I'm going to take you back to a situation here. And I'm going to show you the difference between man's wisdom and God's wisdom. Man's wisdom and God's wisdom. How many of y'all familiar with the story of Joseph in the Old Testament? Joseph, raise your hand. Raise your hand. Oh, boy, if y'all don't know Joseph, we're in deep trouble. We're in deep trouble. Okay, let me jog your memories. The coat of many colors. Coat of many colors. Okay, we're getting a few more. Okay. Here's the difference between man's wisdom and God's wisdom. Or I might put it this way, man's point of view and God's point of view. Because the book of James tells us that whenever we use man's wisdom, it always ends up with envy and strife. Envy and strife. And he says whenever we use God's wisdom, it's always pure and peaceful. So whenever you're looking at a situation, whatever the situation is, you're looking at it on TV, you're looking at a magazine, you're reading in a book, going to the movies, whenever you see envy and strife, that is not from God's wisdom. It's not. I don't care how you want to decorate it up. I don't want to care. Well, it's because of this. No, it's not from God. If it's pure, if it's from God, it's going to be pure and it's going to be peaceful. Joseph, young man, baby boy, daddy's pride and joy. You know the story. He had 11 brothers, and his daddy made him a beautiful coat, a coat of many colors. Bless you. A coat of many colors. And Joseph, I mean, what teenager wouldn't like a beautiful gift from his father? And Joseph would walk around, and his brothers would look at him. Now, I'm going to show you the difference between man's wisdom and God's wisdom. And his brothers would look at him askance, and they say, "Ah, you think you something, huh? We're going to fix that." Now, understand, this is all the same. This is the same family. This is like, doesn't the Bible tell us in Acts 17:26? The Bible says, or it's 26:17 or 17:26. Can't remember. The Bible says, we are all one blood. Like it or not, we are all one blood. And so here's Joseph with his brothers, all one blood. One father, one blood, all brothers. But he got a coat. Man, I wish I could have seen it. He probably even left the price tag on it. Amen. He's walking around, and every time his brothers see him in that coat, they just get madder. They just get madder. That's called envy. That's called envy. And then along comes the strife. You know, they kind of push him around and knock him around. And, you know, and because every time they see him, he just reminds them, makes them madder and madder and madder. Now, man's wisdom would say to you, the modern day philosopher would say to you, well, his father shouldn't have done that because he created low self-esteem in the other boys. And he shouldn't have done anything like that. And we need to go sit on the couch and talk for a while. And, you know, we got to work through this situation. But here's what I submit to you. Think about this. I'm not going to go into too much depth. I'm not going to go too much into it. But I submit this to you. You read that text. Now, his brothers were angry because he got the beautiful coat. Do you see anywhere in that text where his brothers asked God for a coat? Would they ask their father for a coat? Do you see it? Why are they angry at him? His daddy gave him the coat. See, they're not really angry at him. They're angry at his daddy. Because the daddy gave him the coat. But guess what, y'all? Guess what? The book of James says, we fight and we envy and we lust and we war because we have not. But James said, you have not because you ask not. Show me where his brothers went to their daddy and said, Daddy, we like that coat. Can you give up? Nobody did nothing. All they did was jump on their brother, throw him in a ditch, make like he's dead, sell him off to some folks into slavery. We didn't receive that spirit. We receive the spirit that when we see somebody who God has blessed, guess what, how we're supposed to respond? Man, God did that for you? Man, my son's an athlete. I look at these athletes over here. Y'all all know my son's an athlete. I'm going to use him for an illustration. I use him a lot, but this is a good one. He's not going to end up bad on this one. But when he was young, we had a neighbor boy who, this old boy, he couldn't even spell ball, let alone dribble one. And I think Lewis was born playing basketball, football. That's all he did. He just played ball. But the old boy, I shouldn't say he couldn't spell ball, because the old boy was one of the smartest kids in the class. Smart boy. But he just, not an athletic bone. You couldn't even give him enough transfusion to give him an athletic bone. Nothing. And so my son would get upset with him because this boy's like straight A student. He didn't have to study. He didn't hardly have to show up for class. But he's a straight A student. And so my son would kind of make joke out of him sometimes when it came time to play ball. Because, you know, in your neighborhood, it's not like you can go recruit somebody, some 6'6 guy down the street. No, you just got the neighborhood boys. And so when we saw this, we kind of pulled him off to the side. We said, wait a minute. why can't you be happy for him? No, he doesn't have the skills that you have at balling. And you don't have the skills that he has in academics. So why can't you be happy for him? Amen. See, that's the spirit that God wants in you. We talk about teamwork, teamwork, teamwork. God came up with that. God came up with that. God put the original team together. All his brothers had that envy and that strife. I just wanted to let you know, that mindset is not from God. The Ruach HaKadosh did not give us that mindset. He says here in verse 10, God hath revealed, but here's what goes on in verse 12. Now, you and I have to receive it. My people perish for lack of knowledge. Not that the knowledge is not there. Are you receiving what God has given you? That's in Hosea. Are you receiving it, church? Or do we get bogged down in the fact that somebody has got something more than us? They got more money than I have. They have a nicer car than I have. They have a bigger house than I have. Can't you say thank you, Lord, for them? Can't you be happy for them? Can't you look? I was telling my son-in-law the other day, I said, don't you know? Don't you know? I'm proud of myself. I said, don't you know millionaires? Millionaires live their whole lives in these 16, 17, 18 room house. I mean, gigantic rooms. And then they sell them when they get old, and they buy a 1,500 square foot house like mine. That's wisdom. Amen. Amen. See, I beat them to the punch. I told him, I said, you know how nice it is to sit on your bed and open up your dresser drawer? Amen. I ain't got to do all that walking across the room. No, man. I just sit right there, want some socks, I put my foot over there, pull out the socks, I say, good. Y'all got to understand, God has been good. If he gives you a mansion, I'm happy for you. But he done gave me my 1,500 square feet, and I'm happy. I'm happy. And y'all got to be happy for some folks, y'all. When God blesses people with education and money and jobs, don't you be hating on them. That envy and strife, that's not from God. That's in you. That's in, and James said, why are you hating on them when all you have to do is humble yourself and say, Lord, I like that Lamborghini. And he'll say, you ain't got no money. But he will answer you. He will answer you. But he's, you know, because what he said, he says in his word, he says, you ask amiss. You ask amiss because you want to use it on your own lust. But you can ask God. We got a heavenly Father who sent his son to the cross so that I don't have to go to hell. He's not holding back on me, y'all. He's not holding back on you. He said, ask him. Ask him. That you might know. Verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Understand this, church. When you read the King James Bible, sometimes you see the Holy Ghost and you see the Holy Spirit. If you've ever wondered what is the difference, the Holy Spirit, usually when you see the word Holy Spirit being used, they're talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. They're talking about the power of God. When you see the word the Holy Ghost being spoken, being used, he's talking about that closeness in relationship. He's talking about drawing closer to God. He says, the Holy Ghost. He goes, come a little bit closer. Come a little bit closer. Draw nigh unto me. Build my relationship. And he says, and he talks about teaching. In John 14, 26, he talks about the Holy Spirit. He comes, the Holy Ghost comes to teach us all things. And he is our comforter, church. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. When you need that extra hug, when you need that extra love, cry out to the Lord. When you get to thinking that nobody cares about you, humble yourself. You can be, because there are people truly who are in the midst of a crowd and they're lonesome, church. They're lonesome. But I'm here to tell you today, cry out unto the Lord. And he says, I'll be there for you.
He says in verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. There's two reasons why the unsaved person or the natural-minded person can't understand these teachings. There's two things why when you talk to an unbeliever, when you say you must be born again, he just looks at you kind of funny. There's two reasons why when you tell somebody, pray for those who spitefully use you, the people that you don't like, the people that you really don't like. When he says that, there's two reasons why the natural man rejects that. One, and don't you fool yourself. When you're talking to a person who doesn't believe in Jesus Christ, they can say a lot of flowery words, y'all. They can say a whole lot of wonderful stuff. But anything you say about Jesus is absolute foolishness to them. There's two reasons why they can't receive it. One, because it's foolishness to them, which means they don't care. And two, because it's spiritually discerned, which means the Holy Spirit of God, which is in you, that's what allows you. That's who allows you and I, you and me. That's who allows us to understand this book. When somebody says, I tried reading the Bible, and it just doesn't make any sense, because it's spiritually discerned. Before you can read the Bible and it makes sense, you must be born again. Amen. You must be born again. He says, but he that is spiritual, verse 15, but he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. He's going on to let everybody know here that you just have to understand, folks, in the church, the Bible even speaks of in the church, we're never supposed to go to court and sue each other. Did you know that? A Christian is never supposed to sue another Christian. That's what the Bible says. He says, don't go before the heathens and sue a Christian. He says, because don't you know that you and I will be judging angels? Did you know that, church? You and I. Why would we put God's business out in front of heathens? Why would we put God's business out in front of God-hating people who are just going to scoff? When God says, don't you know that there's going to be a day when you and I are going to be judging the angels? You know, right now, a lot of Christians worship angels. Bad move. We're going to be judging the angels. Amen. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged no man. For who hath known, verse 16, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? You see that verse 16 where it says, who hath known? Just take a reference back up to verse 12 where it says that we might know. He's asking, this is almost a rhetorical question. He says, who might know? Who knows? Who has known the mind of the Lord? Verse 12, you. Oh, wait. You, those of you who have believed on the name of Jesus Christ, you know the mind of Christ. Jesus, the one that we worship, Jesus, the one who went to the cross with us, Jesus, the one who healed the sick, Jesus, the one who raised the dead, Jesus, the one who touched the lame, guess what? When you believe on the name of Jesus Christ, when you believe that Jesus Christ came, he died, he rose from the dead, paying for your sins, guess what? Remember, Paul is talking to a confused church. And he's telling them, start with the word of God, which is in you. And he's saying, don't you know? Don't you understand? You, not the preacher only. When the choir sings, we all shout. We say, ooh, boy, they anointed. Guess what? You have the mind of Christ. Well, that's good news and that's bad news. The good news is I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengthens me.
The bad news is I don't always want to do what God has told me to do. So we have to go over to Philippians. When we understand that we have the mind of Christ, we have to go over here to Philippians 2, 3 and 5. 3 through 5. When you have the mind of Christ, this is the command from God. When we have the mind of Christ, and we do have the mind of Christ, this is not it's going to come. This is if you have believed on the name of Jesus Christ, you now have within you the capability to do right. The capability to glorify God with everything that we say and do. He tells us here in Philippians chapter 2, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Y'all, take that nonsense of low self-esteem and throw it out the window, because God has spoken and God has says, I'm supposed to pay. I'm supposed to treat other people better. I'm supposed to esteem other people better than me. Yes, why? Because God said, I'm going to give you everything that you need. But that person right there doesn't necessarily know me. And I want to use you. Teamwork. I want to use you to speak to that person the things that I want them to hear. But if you're always trying to put yourself up here, it's not going to work. So he says, esteem others better than themselves. Esteem other better than themselves. Let this mind be in you. Look, verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Again, how can a saved person do that? Because you have the Spirit of God in you. And did not God tell you, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you? Did not God tell you the heathens worry about what am I going to wear, what am I going to eat, where am I going to sleep? He told you and I, he said, don't you worry about those things, because I am responsible. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and everything else that you need, because that's my responsibility. So now, having said that, here's what I want you to do. I want you to look out for those who don't know me. I want you to esteem others above yourself. But Lord, that's so hard. That's so hard. That is so hard. Unless you know for a fact that God's Spirit has been revealed, and now all you have to do is receive it. And once you do that, we have a perfect example. When he says, esteem others above yourself, when he says, count it all joy, we look to the cross, y'all. You look to the cross. We have the mind of Christ, but let's see what Christ did. Christ looked at your situation. Christ looked at my situation. The Bible says Christ even went into the Garden of Gethsemane and he prayed. He prayed. The Bible said he prayed 3 times. Christ knew what he was facing, y'all. And he knew why he was facing it. Again, the mind of Christ, esteem others above yourself. Christ asked the Father, is there any other way that I can be saved, that these folks can be saved, other than the cross? And the answer came back, not my will, but your will be done. Church, God has revealed his Spirit. He has shown his love in his Son on the cross. And he has said to you and me, I want you to be a light in this world. And I want you to conduct yourselves using the mind of Christ. Church, understand, we can know, we should know, we ought to know the works of the Holy Spirit so that we can be a clean vessel. used to the glory of God. Thank you for your time.